So there were these people that were tormenting Rabbi Meir, and he was going to daven for them to die. And Bria, his wife, says, you know, why do you think that? Because there's a pasuk that says that the chataim should cease to exist, but that's really talking about the Yetzer Hara, that the Yetzer Hara should cease to exist, not the sinners themselves. Really, you should daven for them to do teshuvah. And if there's no Yetzer Hara, then this will fulfill the second part of the pasuk, which says there will be no more Risharim, there will be no more evil. The only way there will be no more evil is if we get rid of the Yetzer Hara. So Meir davened for them to do teshuva, and then they did teshuva. So there's this Siddiqui who said to Bruria, why is the pasuk says that the barren one should rejoice? That's a little weird. They shouldn't be so happy if they have no kid. They can't have kids. So Bruria says, no, you have to look at the end of the pasuk that says that Hashem says that the children of Yerushalayim are more numerous than the children of Edom. They have, so clearly they're not barren. So then why does the pasuk say they're barren? Bruria says it's like a barren woman who has no kids going to Gehenim, like all your kids are going to go. She was roasting the Siddukim. So this Siddukim said to Rabbi Abahu, why does David write about running away from Absalom, his son, before Shaul? We know that he ran away from Shaul first in Tehillim. So Rabbi Abahu says, no, you guys don't learn anything from smichus. You don't learn anything from things that are juxtaposed. But Absalom, what we do learn from smichus, and therefore we can understand it. So Absalom is connected to the parak talking about Gog and Magog, the war before Mashiach. And you might think, you know, people might say, oh, a servant can never rebel against their master. Like, no one's ever going to rebel against Hashem. But really, you say back, well, look at that. There was a son that once rebelled against their father. You might have thought that never could have happened, but it did happen. So to hear, servants can rebel against Hashem, their master. So Rabbi Yochanan said, "Neivre Rabbi Yeshua ben Bar Yochai." What's the pasuk of Pia Pascha v'Chachma v'Torah Chesed Alishona? Who's that talking about? He says it's talking about David, who lived in five worlds, and he said praise about all these different worlds. Not while he was in these worlds, as you'll see in a second, but he said them about these different time periods. So he said praises about Hashem from the time period of being in the womb. So from the time period of coming into the world and seeing the stars and constellations. From the time period of nursing, Rabbi Avahu says that babies nurse adjacent to the heart. And we brought down two different reasons. Rabbi Yehuda says that just like for all other animals, their babies nurse from a lot lower down on the body. So for humans, Hashem had it that the babies would nurse from further up because if they were further down, they'd be looking at inappropriate parts of the body. Rav Masna says that the fact that they nurse behind the heart makes it somehow more kosher, makes the milk kosher, because it's adjacent to the heart. The other two periods that David said praise about were the downfall of the Rishayim and on his, like, thing about contemplating his death. So Yeshua ben Levi says that Hashem's ways are not like people's ways. So we could draw on a wall, we could draw a figure on a wall, but we can't put life into it, we can't put a neshama, we can't put organs, things like that. But Hashem is able to form a being inside a being, meaning a baby inside a woman, and he's able to put in life, the neshama, organs, intestines, things like that. So this is why Chana says, Ein Sura Kelokeinu, meaning there's no former like Hashem, because he's able to make these forms inside of forms. And this is why she also said, Ein Bilatecha, meaning that Rabbi Yehuda Bar Menasseh translates that, says, by people, none of us outlive our creations. So we're saying that no one can outlive Hashem, meaning that even though we won't outlive our creations, Hashem will outlive all of his creations. Rav Shimon bar Ukva said to Mar Ukva, when David said these five songs, the Baruch Hinashis, who were they about? So it was about the Hashem and it was about the Neshama and Hashem who share five similarities. So what are they? Just like Hashem fills the world, so too the Neshama fills the body. Just like Hashem is seen, just like Hashem can see but is not seen, so too the Neshama can see but is not seen. Just like Hashem sustains the whole world, the Neshama sustains the whole body. Just like Hashem is Tahor, Hashem is pure, so too the Neshama is pure. And just like Hashem lives in the innermost chamber, meaning he's hidden away, so too is the Neshama in the innermost chamber. And David said that the one who has these five, meaning us, should praise the one with the other, with these same five, meaning Hashem. So Vamnuna says that Hashem was able to make a compromise between between the Navi Yishayahu and King Chizkiyahu, that Chizkiyahu believed that Yishayahu should come to me, just like Eliyahu the prophet went to Ahav the king. But Yishayahu said, no, Chizkiyahu should come to me, just like Yehoram the king went to Elisha the prophet. So Hashem made a compromise by making Chizkiyahu sick, so Yishayahu would have to go for Bikur Cholim to visit the sick to do a mitzvah. So why did Yishayahu say to him that you're going to live and you won't that you're going to die and you won't live. He's saying that you're going to die in this world and you're not going to live in Olam Haba, the next world. So Chizkiyo said, whoa, why is that going to happen? You know, I thought I was a pretty good dude. Yishayo says, it's because you didn't follow the mitzvah of Puravu, you didn't have kids. And Chizkiyo said, well, you know, I saw with Ruach HaKodesh that my son is going to be really evil. And Yishayo says, well, you know, you have to do your commandments and Hashem will take care of that, but it's not your place to decide those kind of things. And Chizkiyo said, fine, so give me your daughter, I'm going to marry her, and hopefully through the shared merit of me and your daughter, we'll be able to have a righteous kid. And Yishayo says, nope, too late, Hashem's already decided. Chizkiyo is basically like, get out of here, you don't know what you're talking about. I have a tradition that you can even daven for mercy, even when there's a sharp sword on your neck. And we know that Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lezer, they teach the same thing. So, what did he do? It said that even if, you know, we teach from Rav Chanan that even if a master of dreams says that you're going to die tomorrow, you could still daven for mercy. So Chizkiyo turned to the wall and he davened. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish says that he davened with the walls, meaning he davened with all his heart. Rabbi Levi says that he davened about the wall. He said that the Isha Shunamis, who we're going to get into in a little bit, she made one wall for Eliyahu, and she got Tchiyas HaMesim for her son who died. And he said, my ancestor Shlomo, who coated the entire Beis HaMikdash in gold and silver, you know, how much more so do I deserve to be healed? And Chizkiyo asked Hashem to remember the good deeds that he does in his prayer. Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav that what were these good deeds that he was davening about, that he davened Vasikin. Rabbi Levi says that he hid the book of cures. We know that there were six things that Chizkiyo did. Three were good, three were not. The first one was that he hid the book of cures because everyone was just relying on these cures. And they were not davening to Hashem, so he hid this book of cures. The second was he grinded up the Nachash and Nechoshes. This was the, like, you know, statue that Moshe made in the Midbar, and everyone turned it into an idol. And the third was that he dragged his wicked father Achaz's bones through the street to the grave. But the bad things that he did was he stopped at the water for Sancheir when they were laying a siege, so they wouldn't have water for the army that was outside. Second was that he cut down the golden doors of the Beis HaMikdash to pay a tribute to Syria. And the third was that he made it a leap year after they had already declared it Nisan. And we know that you can't declare a leap year after you already started Nisan. So how did he do it? No, because really he declared the leap year on the 30th of Adar. He thought that was okay, but really, no, you're still not allowed to do that. So Rabbi Yochanan says in the name of Rabbi Yossi ben Zamra that if you make a request based on your own zuchus, based on your own merit, you're going to be answered on the merit of others. But if you make a request on the merit of others, you're going to be answered on your own zuchus. So Moshe davened on others' merits, meaning from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. He said to answer from Avraham, Yitzchak, because of the merit of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And therefore, he was answered on his own merit. But Chizkiyo davened on his own merit, and therefore, he was only answered on David's merit. And that's why Rabbi Shimon Levi says that even though Hashem healed Chizkiyo, the pasuk says he was still sad because he wasn't answered on his own merit. So Rabbi Shmuel said, what was the kir, the wall, that the Isha Shunamis made for Eliyahu? She was this woman that hosted Eliyahu, and the pasuk says that she made a kir, a wall. So what was that? One opinion is that there was an unroofed attic and they roofed it, making the attic usable. The other opinion is that there was a big room and they put a wall in. So according to the one that says it was an attic, why does the pasuk say it was called a kir, a wall? Because shekiruha, which means that they roofed it. And according to the one that says that it was a big room that they split down the middle with a wall, why does the pasuk say it's called an aliyah, which sounds like it, which means an attic? Because it was the best room in the house, the me'ula, the best room in the house. So Abaye says that if you want to benefit from others, you can, like Eliyahu got benefit from the Isha Shunamis. But if you don't want to benefit from others, you don't have to, like Shmuel, because Rabbi Yochanan says that whenever he went anywhere, wherever he went, he always brought everything he needed so that he wouldn't have to rely on other people. So the Isha Shunamis said to her husband, oh, see, he's a holy man. Rabbi Yossi Bar Hanina says, from here we see that women know their guests better than men. They tend to be around the house more. They get to know their guests better. So we said that how did she know, though, that she was holy, that he was so holy? So Rabbi Shmuel says, one say that is because there were no flies by his table ever, and that proves that he was very holy. The other was she would change his sheets every day, and when she went to change them in the morning, she never saw any nocturnal emissions, proving again that he was very holy. So Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Hanina said that he's holy, but his servant isn't. His servant Gehazi is not holy because when he went to push her away, he started like groping her as he pushed her away. So Rabbi Yossi bar Hanina, in the name of Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov, says that if you like host Talmidei Chachamim and you give them stuff, your own stuff for them to benefit from it, it's as if you brought the Tamid, the carbon Tamid. Rabbi Yossi bar Hanina, in the name of Rabbi Lazar bar Yaakov, says that you shouldn't stand and daven in a high place, but rather you should daven in a low place, because we have a brisa that says don't stand on a chair or a stool or any high place, but rather you should daven from a low place. So we have the pasuk of Mimama Kim Kresir Hashem, from the depths I call out to you, Hashem. Rabbi Yossi says in the name of Rabbi Elazar bar Yaakov that you should put your legs together when you daven. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina says in the name of Rabbi Elazar bar Yaakov that you shouldn't eat on your blood. What does that mean, that pasuk, that you shouldn't eat on your blood? That you shouldn't eat before davening for your life. But if you do eat first, then Hashem is going to get upset at you for eating because you were started taking care of your own needs before you accepted Hashem, and it makes you seem very haughty. Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel that the halacha is like Rabbi Yeshua, that you have until the third hour of the day to say Kriyat Shema. Rav Chisda says that if you do, you don't lose the schar of Torah reading if you say it after the 3 hours, the third hour, but after 3 hours, you can't say the bracha. But the Brisa says that you should say the bracha. So clearly there's a disproof to Rav Chisda, and any time you should still say the brachos. Fine. The next Mishnah. So Beis Shammai says that you should say Kriyat Shema when you're lying down at night, and when you're during the day, you should say it standing, because it says ubishchecha of kumecha, and you're getting up and you're lying down. So therefore, at night, say it lying down, and during the day, you should say it standing up. But Beis Hillel says you can read it however you want from the pasuk of ubalachtecha v'aderech. The Gemara will explain how that makes sense. And what does Beis Hillel do with the pasuk of bishchecha of kumecha? It is just teaching that the times for Kriyat Shema is when you lie down and when you get up. And Rabbi Tarfon says that he was traveling and he lied down to say Shema like Beis Shammai, and this was very dangerous because he could have got attacked. And the Rabbanan said, oh, you deserve to get hurt for following Beis Shammai over Beis Hillel. Shkayach.